The Lord for grace, God's unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it, but He gave it to us anyway. Salvation and blessings unspeakable. And just so wonderful to know that I'm saved and a child of God and trusting in Him to continue to lead me forward in this life physically, but more importantly, spiritually speaking. Tonight we continue our series of messages on the spiritual growth, and tonight the title is Trusting. Look at with me of Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. We'll use this as our text tonight, but there's many texts we could turn to about faith, trust. Both of these words are very close in their meanings. And in fact, when we say that you ought to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I use that term, we should transfer our trust from any other source of salvation and transfer that to Jesus Christ. That's faith. Trusting in Him and Him alone. And tonight we talk about trust. Mark 11 and verse 20. Let's look at Mark 11 and verse 22. Back up with me. Verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Remember, if you read the previous verses, you know that Jesus had cursed this fig tree. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Just look at that little statement again. Have faith in God. What he's saying simply is trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. God knows best. Absolutely. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your love that we can trust in You. I pray tonight through, again, Your Word that we would be just so reminded of how great You are to us, how merciful and gracious You are, and Lord, how we can trust You in everything, in every area of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. We started the series of messages off many moons ago talking about the birth and being born again and the adoption that we have when we accept Christ as our Savior, being adopted into the family of God. We went on to speak about and preach on growth, and we touched subjects such as nutrition and how we ought to be feeding on the Word of God and exercising our faith, and we are all being conformed to the image of His Son. There's a predetermined image that God is conforming us to. So we're not just growing willy-nilly out there. There is a product that God is looking for. There's some goals that God is looking for in our lives. And then we talked about glorifying Him. Everything we do should glorify God. The last couple of weeks we've been preaching on maturity, this kind of last stage as we talk about spiritual growth. We only got about three or four more messages on this subject. Maturity, we talked about how that God is weaning us, that He is taking us from that babe and taking the bottle out of our mouth and bringing us along and maturing us by weaning us. And it's for our own good. In order for us to be successful in the Christian life, He has to do that. And then last Wednesday night, we talked about being in subjection to Him, submitting to Him and to His will, submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, part of the evidence that we are maturing is the weaning process, and the evidence that we are maturing is this submitting process, submitting to Him. Again, it's kind of like your children as they're being raised, and, you know, again, the weaning off of the mother and then coming on down through and growing, and they get to that point where they do submit to you. There is that point. Hang on. There should be a point where they submit to you if you've done your job. Even those hard cases, sometimes it takes a little while, and you got to, you know, apply the Board of Education, the seat of understanding, and discipline, and love, and compassion, all those things. And they should get to the point where they do submit to you. And then we're going to talk tonight about trust. They'll submit because they trust you. They'll trust you. Tonight, I wanted to tell you absolutely, you must trust God. Jesus said, trust in God. Have faith in God. Trusting and have faith. By the way, we practice faith every day. We trust every day. We made a promise when we made our marital vows with our spouses, but we have to trust our spouse that they'll keep that marital vow. When we get a prescription from the doctor, we have to trust not only the doctor, we have to trust the one putting this prescription together. We put our money in the bank. We have to trust the banker. We have to trust the bank. We get on the highway. We have to trust, a lot of people. That's scary. Get on the airplane. You have to trust the pilot. Get on the elevator. You have to trust the person who's worked on that elevator, especially this one. They come out quarterly and work on it. And I know it's cliche in the Christian life. Most of you have heard these illustrations forever if you've been saved very long. But we have some here that haven't been. You think about coming through the front doors tonight. You came to this building. You're trusting in the ones who built this building. You're trusting, yeah, that's a little iffy. Our contractor's name was Redneck Construction. So just, I'm not kidding. That's what the name of the contractors was. Redneck Construction. And you're trusting in the architect. You're trusting in the builder. I mean, we practice faith every day. We practice trust every day. I don't know about you. I walked out this morning and saw the trees and the sky. And I knew there was a master architect because of creation. And I trust him. Man, if he can make the sun, moon, and stars, surely I can trust him. He has that kind of power. Faith in, you know, an architect, or faith in your bank, or faith in the airplanes. But you know what? Faith is the glue that holds people's lives together. Hang on, let me rephrase that. It helps hold people's lives together. In other words, if you have no faith in anything, you're just going to go in your bed and crinkle up in a little fetal position and just be fearful all the time. You've got to put some faith in people, some faith in particular objects. But faith is only as good as its object. All of you had faith. You sat down in the chair tonight. You have faith in the chair, the object you're sitting in. But let me tell you again, faith is only as good as its object. You trust people, we get what people can do. You trust money, you get what money can do. You trust yourself, you get what you can do. But you trust God, we get what He can do. Let me say that again. We trust God, we get what He can do. I don't know about you, but He can do anything. My God is big enough. He can do anything. He is completely sovereign. He is above all. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. That's the God that I put my trust in. And though we do from time to time have to put our trust in people, people will fail us. And though we do from time to time put our trust in our jobs or money or whatever, at some point we're going to fail us. Put our trust in ourselves. We fail ourselves. But God never lets us down. He can be trusted. He can be depended on every time. What does it mean to trust in God? Give me a few things tonight. What does it mean to trust in God? What does it mean to have faith in God? Here's a few facts about faith. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. And the individuals there that are in the hall of faith. We're not going to read the whole thing. If you get a chance, you can go home and read it. If you're, again, a new Christian here tonight, you need to read this chapter tonight afterwards. It'll help you kind of understand where I'm going. But the Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, talking about by it, it is faith. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. And it goes on to give you individuals who practiced faith. Faith. Some facts about faith. Faith comes from God's Word, number one. Faith comes from God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by the Word of God. Faith is listening to what God says in His Word and then acting on it. In other words, faith is not some pep you up, pep rally, build you up, and on empty promises or whatever I may do. I could say, hey, I think I'm going to promise all you guys next Monday night we're all going to pay for you guys all to go to the Cowboy game. That's an empty promise. We can't do that. All right? But God makes promises that He keeps. In other words, we trust in His Word, not my Word. When I get up and preach here tonight, and as long as I am preaching from the Word of God and preaching on the promises that God made in His Bible, like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise from God. He keeps His promise. So my faith is not established or founded upon idle words or my opinion or whatever. My faith is established upon the facts of the Word of God. Facts of the Word of God. Everybody with me? Not my opinion, not your opinion, but facts that are found in the Word of God. That's important. It's not my feelings. It's not how I feel about something, but it's based upon facts that are found. So faith comes by the Word of God. Number two, faith strengthens as a relationship grows. Hebrews 11 speaks of Enoch walking with God. So our faith grows as we walk with God. As we walk with Him day by day, as we walk with Him month by month, week by week, month by month, year by year, our faith in Him should grow. Faith strengthens as a relationship grows. Think about it for a moment. I got married a little over 19 years ago to Tanya Ryan, who I've known since I was 13. We met in a little country church, and we got married at, she was 17, I was 18, right out of high school, went right into Bible college. We've been married over 19 years. I can absolutely say that I trust her more today than I trusted her when we first got married. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. I trust that she will not hit me with a skillet while I'm asleep or a baseball bat. Right? Some of you guys are trusting too. Absolutely. And your trust is greater today than it was yesterday or the day before. It's kind of like a stranger coming up to you in Walmart and asking you for $500. And you're saying, man, I don't know you from Adam. Why would I give you $500? I just met you. I don't trust you. As you walk with the Lord, as you lean upon Him and His Word, as the Lord works in your life, as you pray and read your Bible and all the faith grows as that relationship grows, just like it does in our personal relationships. Pretty simple, isn't it? Goes with our kids too. Let me just take a little moment. You know, as our kids grow up, we put our trust in them. We began to trust them. And as the relationship goes and as the relationship grows, we begin to trust them more and more and more. I mean, there's a certain point where you shouldn't trust a teenager. Right? There's some parents who would trust their child to get into a car with a person of the opposite sex and take off down the road and go out on a date with one-on-one dating. Trust your kid to do that. I would not trust my child to do that. There's only a certain amount of trust that I could put in a teenager. But I can tell you today, I trust Caleb. I trust him to get in the car and go somewhere and to be good and kind. I've never had any reason to doubt him. I trust him. But I know at some point, he's just a kid. Right? He's not down here, so we're going to talk about him. If he was here, I wouldn't say all this. He can go on the internet and watch it. You know, he's just a kid. He's going to fail at some time. Can I tell you again, the Lord can be trusted. My relationship with my son has grown. He's now 16, fixing to be 17 next month. No, the month after next. 17. I'm going to be the dad of a 17-year-old. I trust him. I hope that trust will continue. Amen? But that has come through that. And I could use other illustrations of other children. I won't do it. Trust. Trust in the Lord. As you develop that relationship with Him, you can trust Him. But you must develop that relationship with Him. Number three, Again, talking about facts about faith, about trusting in God. Faith motivates us to do God's will. Faith motivates us to do God's will. Again, we don't have time to look at all of this, but the Bible says here in Hebrews 11, it says there are certain verbs that are found here. It says Noah prepared an ark. It says Abraham offered up Isaac. It says Moses chose Israel over Egypt. In other words, faith motivates us to do what God says. Noah was told that rain was coming. And God said, Noah, prepare an ark. And it says, Noah prepared an ark. He obeyed God's word. Why? Because he trusted in him. Abraham was told to offer up Isaac there on the mount, and he did. Why? Because he trusted in the Lord. Moses was told to go let his people go and trusted the Lord. Faith isn't feeling good about what God says, but doing what he says. I don't know about you, but I don't think Abraham felt good about taking his son up on top of the mountain and laying him in and putting him there on the altar and was about to slay him. Do you think he felt good about that? I think the Bible tells us in Hebrews he knew what was going to happen. I still don't think he felt good about that. He just trusted God. He just trusted God. Faith. The Bible says, James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. James says, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, faith is more than just believing. Faith is acting upon that belief. Right? It's more than just saying, I believe that chair will hold me. It's sitting down in the chair. That's trusting. That's having faith. And we must trust in God. And we must trust in His will. No matter what He tells us to do in that still small voice, no matter what the Word of God tells us to do, we must trust Him, His Word, and do His Word. Be you doers of the Word and not hearers only. Number four, faith, when acted upon, is a witness. Hebrews 11:2 says, For by faith, the elders obtained a what? A good report. By faith, by the faith that they acted upon, by the belief they acted upon, and as they showed that faith, they obtained a good report. They were a good testimony to God's glory, to God's work. In fact, it says Abraham was a good testimony to God's glory. There in Hebrews, it says that. Trusting in God means thinking and acting according to God's word in spite of circumstance, in spite of feelings, and in spite of the consequences. Trusting in what He says. By it, you'll obtain a good report. Faith is only as good as its object. And we can trust the Lord. Have I said that yet? You can trust the Lord. Spend a little time on tithing right there. God says that you're to give a tenth of your portion unto the Lord. And you can trust Him that He'll take care of you. Amen. He said, well, I can't pay this or I can't pay that if I pay my tithe. The Bible says, the Lord says, if you'll give, He'll give unto you. You be faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. Amen. See, the tithe is something we owe. An offering is something we give. Right? The tithe is something we owe. Missions tonight is something we give. You know, in other words, tithe is just the starting point in this walk of faith. The offerings is a step of faith. Amen? I don't preach on giving much, but amen. So preacher, you don't know what's going on. Doesn't matter the circumstance. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter what you think. The Bible says, do. You must trust God. And He will see you through. So we have certain elements of why we should trust in God. And now we see a growing faith. A growing faith. Growing faith, of course, it begins at salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Right? So our faith is exercised when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I'm glad at the age of 6 that I exercised that faith and I trusted in Christ as my only means of salvation from the wrath of God. I got saved. I got borned agained forever. And I trusted in Him. But not only does the Bible say we are saved by grace, but we are to walk by faith. Not only are we saved by faith, but we're to walk by faith. That means in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, as we walk through this Christian life, as we go through those trials and testings and whatever else we're going through, as we go through the good times, we're to walk by faith. In 2 Corinthians it also says we're to stand by faith. There's some times that you're going to have to stand. There's some times that you're going to have to stand against certain things or stand up for things. And the Bible says you can do so by faith, knowing that God will take care of you. I know doom and gloom, but I'm telling you, there's going to come a time, unless the Lord takes me home early, unless He raptures us out of here, there's going to come a time when we have to stand up. You know, don't ask, don't tell has been done away with by our wonderful president, who is so morally, anyway. And on the news tonight, they use the term for those who are homosexuals, those who are sodomites, they use the term their rights. I don't know about you, but the Bible says sodomy is a sin. It's not like the color of your skin that you can't change. You don't have any civil liberties as a homosexual, as a separate entity group. A sodomite's no different than a drunk. It's a sin in their life that they need to get right with God. And if I wouldn't hire a drunk at the gas station, I sure wouldn't hire a sodomite. And I'm telling you, it's coming down to where a Christian owner who owns a gas station or does anything, they have to submit to these other things. I'm telling you, there's going to come a time where you have to stand by faith. By the way, we should love those people. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't. Please. We should love the sinner, hate the sin. We should be compassionate. I would never go to someone like that. I would never pick at them. That's, you know, we're to reach out to them. We're not to offend them. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to preach it from this pulpit, what's right and what's wrong. But there'll come a time, according to this new hate speech legislation, there'll come a time where they begin to parse that law out, where it'll become a law that you can't get up and preach against those because you're affecting their civil liberties. That's crazy. But can I tell you, we can stand up by faith. Trust God that if we do the right thing, by the right thing, I mean, according to the Word of God, that He will take care of us. Amen. There's many a person who's gone to jail in the past, here in America and over in Europe in the Dark Ages, who've gone to jail for their faith, and God has been right there with them. Some of the greatest books ever written were written in jail. Right? The Pauline of Roman epistles, the prison epistles. You wouldn't have the book of Romans unless Paul was in jail. Possibly. Right? Now, y'all got me off on a tangent. I wanted to get going here. We walk by faith. We are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We're to stand by faith. The Bible says that we're without faith is impossible to please God there in verse 6 of chapter 11. Boy, there's so much here. The Bible says the just shall live by faith over in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. And then that verse is repeated 3 times in the New Testament. And if you want to, you can look these up. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. So in the New Testament, that verse is repeated 3 times. When Habakkuk says the just shall live by faith, and then Paul says the just shall live by faith. We should not only, well, are we saved by grace, but we need to live by faith. Too many times we trust in ourselves as we live this day-to-day life. And listen, we should put our trust in the Lord. And the only way that you're going to overcome that stubborn habit in your life, the only way you're going to have that closer walk with the Lord is to come down and say, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I can't do it. I'll know only You can do it through me. And lay it at His feet. Live by faith. God had to knock Abraham down a notch or two before He let him have Isaac. You know what I'm saying? When he finally came to the place where he said, I cannot do it. Sarah's womb was dead. She had passed the point of having children. Right? And then God said, here it comes. And it happened. But we have to die to ourselves first. We're, the just shall live by faith. How can we tell we are living by faith? There are many points here. Let me go on and we'll cover this one next Wednesday night. Faith grows. The Bible speaks in the New Testament of no faith, little faith, and giant faith. Jesus said, you have no faith. Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. And he said, man, what great faith. Talking about a little woman. What great faith. So there are stages in our faith. And can I tell you that that growth takes place as we feed upon the Word of God. That growth takes place as we pray. As we develop a heart for God. A heart for God, I don't believe, just happens. I think at the point of salvation, we have that excitement. Remember the excitement you had when you first got saved and you wanted to tell everybody? I told you the story about my cousin coming down from Marlow, Oklahoma, and spend the night with me shortly after I got saved. I never forget leading to the Lord in my bed as we slept that evening. I was excited. I want to tell everybody. That exciting faith. But can I tell you that heart for God, this loving God, our first purpose statement, the loving God, that is something that continues to grow in our hearts. As we read our Bibles, as we pray, we develop that relationship with Him. That faith and that trust in Him grows. A love for Him grows. You say, well, I just don't feel as close to the Lord as I used to. Get back in the Bible. Well, when I read it, I don't get it. Get what you can. I've heard a sermon here lately. The preacher said, listen, when you read the Bible, you're not going to get everything out of it. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to understand everything. But if you just get one thing when you read your Bible on Thursday morning, just get one thing, right? Get what you can get. Amen? Some of the stuff just says this. Get what you can out of it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand. He's the one that gives us understanding. He's the one that enlightens us. But listen, get what you can. And then the next day, get what you can. And the next day, get what you can. You know what? By the time you come around to it the next year, you'll get a little more. And you'll get a little more. But it doesn't start unless you start somewhere. A restart. Faith and trust in God grows by way of reading our Bible. Faith and trust in God grows by praying. Now I'll name me down to sleep and pray the Lord my soul to keep. Some people are still praying that way and they're 35 years old. Man, get on your knees at night or pray there at night before you go to bed. Lord, thank you so much for my family. Thank you for my boys and my little girl. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom in raising them. And spend some time with the Lord. Lord, thank you for my home. Thank you. Spend some time just thanking. Spend some time with him. Lord, man, I'm really hurting for Brother Grigsby. And man, he was sitting there in the bed yesterday when I was there and really couldn't. Yeah, I said, Brother George, your preacher's here. You know, he barely opened his eyes. And I wanted to, I was so glad Monday I got to talk to him, spend a little time with him. And Brother George, and I thought of my papa right away because that's exactly how my papa was before he died. And I was there when he died. I'm glad I was close to my papa. You know, I'm glad I can go and pray for Brother Grigsby. And I'm not talking about just saying, Lord, pray for, I'm talking about Miss Leslie's hurting. They lost a child. He was in his 30s, I think, early 30s when he died, a boy. I was saying to Miss Leslie, I said, this is different, isn't it? It's not the same as losing a boy when you lose your spouse. It's not the same. She's hurting. We can go pray for them. And as we pray for not only things we want to pray about for others, that faith will grow. That love and that trust in God will return, or if it hasn't left, it'll grow. Enduring trials will help us as we grow. In other words, we grow closer in trust in the Lord as God brings us through the trials of this life. And as we consider others who have lived godly examples, I think back to Spurgeon as we showed the video the end of last year of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. If you haven't read that biography, it's amazing what Spurgeon did in the 1800s. And it would just inspire you. The godly example he lived, the prayers that were answered. George Mueller, you get a chance to read his biography or his autobiography. Just amazing, the prayers that God answered.
There's a one, I think it's in the bookstore, one by Sheffy. But Sheffy was known, he could pray the very moment and something would happen the very moment. I mean, he just had that kind of power with the Lord. It's amazing. As we look at others and see the faith that they have, our faith will grow. Those with no faith, little faith, are fearful and worry. They doubt God's word. And the consequences of that is you can't be a good witness or minister effectively when you're not fully trusting in the Lord. Let's put our trust in Him. Amen? Trust in Him. He's worthy of our trust. Let's all stand. Hymn 167. Just as I am. Glad the Lord...